Well, it's good to see you today. Happy Memorial Day. If you were here last week, you know that we started, and I told you we couldn't finish, and we will not finish today either, just because of the nature of the topic, and that is suffering, that we will surely speak about it one more Sunday. But if you were here last week, we're going to try to build on that, and if you were not, someone might can answer some questions, or you can go online. It should be online if you would like to look at that, because there's a lot that goes on that we classify as suffering that no one really has an answer for, and that's exactly what we're going to look at today, and that is... Y'all know what a mystery is, right? When you see something, but no one can really explain it. In the last half of the century, in the beginning of this one, for sure, with all our scientific stuff, it's really become a theory of everything, where they think that we can pretty much explain now, from a scientific standpoint, everything. So some people are insulted if you say, well, we don't understand that, and we can't understand that, but we know it. And they can't hardly handle that, because, you know, we put man on the moon and we gave God his walking papers and said we can figure everything out. But let me ask you this. How many in here, including myself, have no earthly idea from a technical standpoint how you turn on your television and it sucks a picture out of the air? I don't. You know, I couldn't explain that to anyone. Is it explainable? Yeah, because it's man-made. Oh, yes, yeah, someone knows. There's a few of you might know. I don't know. Who doesn't know? I don't have a clue how that works. I know there's a kind of basic theory, but I don't really understand it. Now, I know how if you turn your car on and the battery is good, how the fire leaves the battery and goes to that little starter motor and turns over the flywheel, and if there's gas in there, your car will start, and then you put it in gear, the torque converter spins the transmission fluid. I know how that works. I can explain some of that. So I take advantage of that, but sometimes I take advantage of the television, and I don't understand how it works. Right? So we do that in everyday life, but a lot of times when it comes to God and suffering, people just say, well, you know, I don't understand that, therefore I'm not going to believe in God. There's a lot of things that are mysterious. You know, you look at from a scientific standpoint, you look at the general relativity. It talks about the cosmology of the Lord's planets and everything that's involved in that, and then you go to quantum mechanics and see how subatomic particles work. They're totally two different worlds and how the rules put together. But yet they operate in the same thing, the same universe, and people don't understand that yet. And we don't. And it's the same thing with suffering and from God's perspective. And we're going to look at the book of Job this morning, and we're not going to read the whole book. I encourage you, if you haven't read it lately, to go back and read it. But we basically are familiar with the story. But there is that something that we just can't explain. I read where years ago, a lot of times when people walked where they went, and we used to do that for a long, long time. If we went to a neighbor's house as kids, we walked. And it was about a four-mile circle where all the guys lived, so we would make the circle, and we would walk in it. And it wasn't, what would they call it now? It wasn't child abuse. To make your child walk around and let them go. And this gentleman was walking in a part of the country that he was just traveling, and it was cold, and he came upon this little farmhouse, and so he just stopped and thought he'd get a drink of water. And so he knocked on the door, and this older lady came out, and he just said, I'd just like to get something to drink, please. And it was kind of nasty, so she said, well, why don't you come on in? And she said, I got some soup. I'll give you a bowl of soup. So he sat by the fire, and he was sitting there eating that bowl of soup, and there was this wee little pig right there in the house with her. And it just kept coming up to him and going away and coming up to him and going away. And he told the lady, he said, you know what? I've never seen a pig that friendly in my life. And she said, well, he's really not friendly. You eating out of his bowl. That's the problem. Some things can be explained. Some things can't. What do you do when you get to that place where you can't? You know, the verse in Job, where he says that. He says, though you slay me, I will trust him. That's where we want to get, because there's so many things in our life that will happen that no one can explain. In the first, well, let's go ahead and get started, all right? The mystery of, sorry, y'all, I can't explain it. Yes, I can. It's man-made. That's how you explain this. I'm sorry. You sure it's plugged in the back? I mean the bottom. That computer was unplugged this week. That's why I'm saying, yeah, just trace it down there and just make double sure if you don't mind. If you remember last week, we talked about suffering. And basically, we looked at how it started in the fall at Genesis, and we looked how it was going to be consummated in the end in Revelation. So when we look at this today, something we have to remember is this. There's really no such thing as innocent suffering, because directly or indirectly, all suffering is tied to the fall. But it doesn't mean that because you're suffering that you're sinning, as we're going to see in Job today, but it does mean that all suffering in general goes all the way back to that. So in a sense, there's no such thing as innocent suffering. It's always a result of something. Okay, one of you going to have to just... Did I do that? Ah, thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. It is directly or indirectly related back to the fall. Okay? That's very, very important. So when we talk about innocent suffering, we're really looking at someone's life and said, okay, we understand that indirectly it's tied back there. So it affects everything, and it affects creation, it affects tsunamis, it affects everything. But you yourself might not be committing a sin that brings it on, all right? So that's what we're looking at in Job. Yet there's significant reflection in the Scripture on innocent suffering. And who's we're going to look at is Job. And there's no book that reflects it any better and probes into it that is what we're going to look in the book of Job. And it starts out and it says, he was a righteous man. You know, it does not mean that he was sinless. That's not what it means. That's not the word there is translated. It just means he is good as they get. You know, when God looks at him, he says he's doing right. He takes care of older people. He takes care of his family. You see in all those verses, and you start in Job, that looking at him, he's a man who is trying to live like God wants someone to live. But it doesn't mean that he's sinless, okay, because he's born in sin like everyone else, all right? He's just as good as they get. But he's unaware, as we are oftentimes, that what goes on behind the situation. You know, like that man, he had no idea. He was eating out of the pig's bowl. The pig wasn't friendly, but he didn't know that. And Job was unaware of the drama situation that's going on between Satan and God. And you say, well, how is it that Satan, remember, Satan's not chained up right now, all right, and hasn't and will not be chained up until Revelation for 1,000 years, and then he's loose again. So a lot of people try to say, well, how does he get to God? God's in control of that. That's all I can say. I don't know. He doesn't explain it. It just says that Satan can get to God along with some other angels, because it says the sons of, you know, he's talking about his angels. They have a conference with God, and Satan comes and says, what about this Job guy? So he comes at him. He says, I guarantee you that if you'll let me do this, he'll curse you to his face, your face. And he says, okay, go ahead. So he's able to do all kind of things to him, but in the end, Job's come back and it doesn't work. That's the way the drama's set up. You have to remember that. But Job doesn't know this is going on. It's just like in our life. All we can see is what's on the front. We really oftentimes don't know what is going on between God and everything else and his sovereignty behind the situation. So we're just like Job. When life falls apart, the main thing is we have to remember God is still in control. And that's exactly what happens. So what happens? What does he do in verse 21? All Job's kids, a storm comes, where they are is destroyed, and loses all 10 kids. And they're all crushed to death. And look what Job says in 21. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is life going to fall apart at some point? If it hasn't yet, it will. In some sense, something's going to happen in your life, and you're going to say, what's going on here? That's just part of it. That's just part of where we live. In this, we're told Never did Job sin or curse God when all this happened. And Satan said, he'll curse you to your face if you'll let me do this to him. God said, go ahead, I know him. That's not going to happen. But that's exactly what happens, and this happens. And then he comes back to him again later when that doesn't work. And he said, well, as long as someone's got their health, they'll still trust you. You let me take care of that, and then he'll curse you too. He said, you can do anything but kill him. You can't take his life. What is all this telling us? God's in control of everything. There's nothing that ever happens in my life or your life as a child of God that God doesn't have to okay first. What are you saying? I'm saying everything that happens, God has to okay it first. And that's the mystery part about it for us. When life falls apart, here's where the mystery begins. So all these things are happening. Job loses everything, right? And then all this calamity, and he's sitting there, and you know, he's got sores all over him, and you know, he's by himself, and his three friends visit him, acquaintances. They come in, and they're wise for 1 week. Remember what it says? They don't say anything. They're just there. And sometimes the only thing we can do to help people is just be right there. Don't try to explain it, because I guarantee you probably don't have the answer for it, as we're going to see. They just were there. A lot of times all we can do is just show up and just be there, not even say a thing. Especially don't try to pass out these little church cliches that everybody seems learned and no one knows anything about, because they haven't done any. We don't know that. So they show up, and for a whole week, they're just there with him. And then it starts to unfold. Because guess what? Everyone has some idea that they understand everything, don't they? How old does that start happening? 4? 5? 16? No, they know everything by 16, right? And by 20, what? Oh, they're Einstein. By 20, right? Ain't that what we are? Yeah, all of us. Then the theological debate comes on the scene, and the drama of Job's life really begins to unfold on the whole deal of suffering. So we learn a lot from just this whole book. The big question always comes back to this. And you know, there's a lot of chapters in between where they're talking and saying stuff, but this is basically what goes on. The big question comes from their discussion, and they ask him, Job, do you believe that God is good? All the verses, absolutely. When suffering happens, the question is always, sovereignty means, is God in control? Do you believe that God is sovereign? Do you believe God is sovereign and in control when you lose a dear family member? Do you believe God is sovereign and in control when you lose your house? Do you believe God is sovereign and in control when something else falls apart in your life? Is God really sovereign? That's what they're asking. That's the same thing we ask. Why? Why, God, did you allow this? You didn't have to let this happen. Do you believe that God is just? That's the second question. Okay, if God is sovereign, meaning he's in control of this, is he right to do this? Is God really right to allow this to happen to you, Job? You know, and they're going back and forth, and this is what happens. His answer is, absolutely yes. God's sovereign. He's in control of everything. Is God good? Absolutely, God is good. Then, if you're suffering like this, Job, these are his three friends. Is this the way we treat one another when we're good friends? You just got some sin in your life, Job. That's a theological stance some denominations take, by the way. And they say this. They just simply say, you know, because God is in control, if there's anything going on in your life, it's because you got sin in your life that's unconfessed. You need to deal with that, then God will fix it all, and you won't be sick anymore. That just does not happen on this world where there's a fallen nature in control. You're going to get sick if you live in this world, and you're going to die if you live long enough. I don't care who you are or what your belief system is. That's just what's going to happen. So that's what they're asking. If you really believe that God's in control and that God is just, then in your suffering like this, it's because you're being punished. You've done something. And what does he go on to say? I made a covenant, even my eyes. I've never even looked at someone in the wrong way. Job said, I'm not guilty. And boy, all the drama back and forth where they say, oh, Job, you committed sins you don't even know about. Why don't you just confess those? And he starts to reason with him and say, wait a minute, I'm not a neurotic. You know, if I've done something, I'm pretty sure that I'm aware that I did it. Isn't that right? And some people, I've heard them say that. Well, that, you just need to confess that you don't even know what you've done, and so God can forgive you. That's exactly one of the arguments they try to make. So he answers their question, and he said, whoa. He said, wait a minute. Look at the verse. Human beings are born to trouble as surely our sparks fly upward. It's going to be there. He said, I understand that. I know God is good. I know that God's in control. I'm not doubting that, but quite frankly, I don't deserve this. Uh-oh. Isn't that what we say? God, why? I'm one of your finest. Isn't it right? My goodness. I can understand how that would happen to the pagans out there, but here I am, one of your choice. Why are you going to let that happen to me? I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing this for you, and I'm doing this. Why would you let that happen to me? Isn't that what we're honest, isn't that what we do sometimes? Why me? Why not you? Why not my family? You know, why not? Well, why do we think that we're not susceptible like everyone else? He said, but I don't deserve this. And this is where they start fussing and fighting back and forth, arguing, actually. And they respond, and we do this, right? They said, wait a minute. Are you saying God's not fair, Job? Boy, this is blasphemy. Are you trying to tell us that God's not fair for this to happen to you in your life? Don't we say that? God, this is not fair. It's okay for those people over there because they don't even try to live for you, but this family, that's just not fair. That's what Job said. He said, I don't deserve this. Job, are you challenging the fairness of God? If God's in control, if he's sovereign, and God is good and just, then you can't be suffering like this unless you're doing something, you're sinning some way. It just doesn't work out that way. And Job says, nope, nope. Or else you're arguing the justice of God. And they think he's in trouble because he's questioning this. Job, you just need to admit your sinfulness. As I said, and I couldn't clarify this enough. There are whole denominations that say if we get sick, it's cause of sin in our life. No, if you get sick, you've gotten in touch with somebody with germs in this fallen world that we live, and if you live, you're going to get sick. It's just the way that goes. And they'll say, oh, no, you got sin in your life, you confess it, and then everything will be good. That never was promised. How many times did Paul say, you know, help me through this, your grace is sufficient, because I'm going to have to deal with this. That's the way that goes. You just need to admit your sinfulness. Isn't that encouraging? All your friends, you're sitting there scrubbing the sores with broken pots because you're in such agony. And they're saying, you just got sin in your life. And Job says, no, I don't. And they keep on. They know it's got to be that way. It's got to be that way. They don't have a clue. God chastises them in the end. We'll get there quick. Here. Without answers, the mystery remains, right? Unless someone can explain something clearly, then it's always a mystery how this thing happens, whatever it is. Electricity, how that works, how the television comes into your living room. Unless someone explains that, it's always a mystery. Job says, I know God is sovereign. That just simply means in control. God's in control of everything. I know God is good, but quite frankly, what's happening is just not fair. This is not fair for this to go on. What I really wish is if God would come down here and let me talk to him, I'd like to ask him some questions. That's what he says. I wish I had a mediator. You know, I know God's not going to come down and talk to me. If I just had a mediator that would go to God because I'd like to ask him about this situation that's going on. That's what he poses. You know, that's what he's saying to them. But I do have some questions to ask him. When someone's suffering in your life and you're suffering, do you have any questions for God? Absolutely. And, you know, as we see through the whole thing, the thing that bothered Job the worst was God didn't say anything until the 40th chapter. All this is going on. You know, you need to pray, and if you're doing it right, you'll get an answer today. Really? How many of you have been praying for 10 years for something and nothing has come out of it yet? Oh, well, you know, I've had them tell me in my face, you pray one time in faith, and it's a sin to ask again. I said, you lost your mind. How many times did Paul pray? I said, are you more spiritual than Paul? Oh, well, no, they don't have an answer for that. He just finally, God said, no, my grace is sufficient. I'm going to do it. You're just going to live with that one. And that's exactly what happened. But I'd like to ask him. And God does, finally. They said, Job, are you going to stand in judgment on God and say, God, this is not fair? You know, that's what we're doing. We're calling judgment in on God to say, God, what you're letting happen in my life is really not fair. I don't deserve it. And they say, are you really going to stand in judgment on God? You're crazy. You're crazy, Job. He's in control. He's righteous. Why in the world do you think if you have the attitude that you're going to ask him questions, then you're really arguing his goodness, his greatness, and his sovereignty? You say none of these things are true. Job said, nope, that's not what I'm saying. I believe all those things. I just want to know, I want to talk to him about this. He said, I wish I had someone, a mediator. Aren't you glad we do? Who is our mediator? Jesus, right? He's the mediator. He's our lawyer. We pray to him, and he goes to God the Father, and he says, you know, Terry wants to know. And it's the same thing. He didn't have that then. Job says at one level, the verse, though he slay me, I'll trust him. On the other level, I wish I had to hold account, because what's happened to me is just simply not fair. He's living just where we live. When something happens, we just absolutely say, I don't understand this, God. This just doesn't seem right. This does not seem fair that you're letting this happen. So his friends respond again. They said, you're blaspheming. You're cursing, Job, to question God, to call him in judgment. You're on the edge of the most horrible language to say that God is unfair. That's what he said. Don't you understand that our sins are such slippery things that they hide? And that's why they told him, you just need to confess sins that you committed that you don't even know you committed. And then everything will be all right. Don't you know that? They said, don't you know God's knowledge of your sin is absolute? He knows. So they had that system of thought where, if you're sinning, how many times did Jesus prove that wrong? You remember when they said, well, who's guilty of this? Is he sinning because his mom or father? He said, neither one. In different situations, he says, just for the glory of God or this or this. He hadn't done anything wrong. So Jesus himself clears up that theological problem. Sometimes we have a clue to our suffering, but we may not have the final explanation of it. God speaks for two chapters in 38 and 39. Go back and read those. I don't know why that thing's moving over to the left. I've already corrected it this morning. So if you're looking at it and say, what's wrong with that? It's mechanical. It's not a mystery. It's man-made. He's asking all these rhetorical questions to Job. Who did this? Who did this? And he's talking about the vast, cosmological things. Who hung the moon? Who put the stars? Who tells the tide when to stop? All these things. And Job just sits there and listens because what? He has no answer. It's a mystery. He has no answer whatsoever. Job, after that, two whole chapters, Job says, I spoke out of turn. God, I'm calling you in judgment. And just by the fact when I'm reminded by you who's in control of all this stuff, I spoke out of turn. And he says, I repent. Now, please understand, he's not repenting of that thing that his friends said, you just need to repent because you got that sin. That is not what he's repenting of. He's repenting of his attitude toward God. Not that he had some sin in his life that he hadn't confessed yet. That's not what it was. I don't know. I spoke all these things that I need to back up. I'm sorry that I spoke like that. That's what I'm repenting of, that I spoke like that. And then God comes back at him again. After all of that, Job, he never says, I get it now, God. After you bury one of your loved ones, you stand in there and all this time passes and you things happen and you say, well, now I get it, God. You probably won't. After all this, Job, he does not say, oh, I understand it now. He just says, I'm sorry, I repent. I'm sorry that I would even question that. I'm sorry. Too often we speak about suffering when we do not have a clue about it. Because you know what? Too much of it is absolutely a mystery. Where God doesn't, he never explains it. And if there's ever going to be an explanation, we would find it in this one with Job. But look what God does to Job. He confirms him. And here's the key to the whole thing. God said, Job, basically, you did say the right things about me. What? And your friends did not. Matter of fact, what he says in the verses, he says, you need to pray for your friends because I'm finna chastise them. You need to pray that I don't destroy your friends because they put me in a little box and the little box wasn't right. You didn't get everything right about it, but you were on the right track. You were on the track that I am in control, I am good, that this thing's happening, you don't understand it. It's a mystery. You understood that. They did not get any mystery about me right. You see? There's so much of God we're never going to figure out. We're either going to trust him like Job said, though he slay me, I'll still trust him. I don't understand that, he says, but I'm going to trust him regardless. We have to get to that point in our life because Adrian Rogers said it so well. He said, you're going to have to come heart first and not head first because you're not going to figure God out. And there's so many preachers, it just makes me sick when they say, oh, yeah, this, and I'm thinking, you can't prove that. You have no biblical evidence of what you're throwing out to all these people, and they're so gullible, they're sucking it up, and it's not even close to being the truth. Why? Because he doesn't know that. Only things we know is what the Scripture tells us. And when the Scripture doesn't explain something, we just say, we don't know. We think it might be this way or this way, but it's a mystery. He said, you recognized that there's a mystery in suffering. And they didn't get it. What are you trying to tell us? I'm trying to tell you, you're going to suffer and you're never going to get an answer for it. That's all I'm saying. And the Scripture says, as Job said, I'm going to trust you anyway, God. You know, there's a turn of thing at the end that most people don't like. So they come and try to switch around and say, well, some redactor came in and changed the book. Because what happened to Job in the end? He was blessed more than he was to start with. Now, please understand, that doesn't mean, well, if I'm going to have to suffer, then that automatically means he's going to bless me over that. That doesn't mean that either. You can't draw that principle from this situation, okay? You recognize there's a mystery, and they didn't. You didn't work out the entailments very well. There are some areas you need to repent. Your attitude was not very good, Job, calling me unfair because you don't know everything. No thoughtful Christian can ever say, when you start suffering, just come to me. I got the answers. Why? Because you don't. And if someone tries to sell you that, they're selling you something. All they can do is speculate. All they can say is, well, I don't know. And all the, you know, what should his friends have really done? Just have been compassionate, had compassion on him. Joe, we don't understand. But we'll be here with you as you go through it, and we'll just, you know, we'll just trust God for the goodness instead of accusing him. I have all the answers. Some of the faith healers think they do, but they don't. It's going to be a sad day one day when all those stand before Jesus. It's going to be a sad day. Why are you saying that? Because they have to give an account for everything that they misled people with. And judgment will come to them because of that kind of nonsense. Rather, at the end of the day, a true believer, all we still have to do is recognize there's a mystery to suffering that we do not have the answer for. But all we can say is, like Job, though you kill me, I'll trust you. Though you take my loved one, I'll trust you. Though you take my health, I'll trust you. Though I live on the street in a box, I trust you. That's the point. There's a mystery. That if you're waiting on God to explain some of these things to you before you trust him, you'll never trust him. Because a lot of these answers we will never have till one day when we see Jesus face to face. Do I believe he's going to answer some of those now? I believe we'll understand it then. Because some of it won't really matter then. We'll get past that and we'll see. We don't know enough to stand in God in judgment and say, well, God, that's not fair. We don't know enough about what's going on to even make that judgment. You know, that's what happens, right? Most of the time when we make judgments on something, unless we know every little detail of the situation, we make a false conclusion because we don't have all the facts. You know how that goes, right? There's my side and your side and then the right side. Isn't that right? And we usually don't have all three sides. We just have a couple of them. So when we judge God on a situation, we don't know. Job didn't know that was going on between God and Satan in the background. And we don't know what all is going on. We must strive to trust just like Job, even though you kill me. And I never understand it. I'm going to trust you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there will be suffering on this earth as a result of the fall. catastrophes happen on the earth because of the fall effects on the earth. Things happen in our lives because of sinful people. Sometimes things happen in our lives because of our own personal sin. Lord, remind us that we can trust you, but oftentimes it will be without any explanation of what's happened. Lord, help us get to that place where we can trust you regardless, so that you'll be glorified and that people will want to know you because of it. In Jesus' name, thank you for your mercy. Amen.